Hello and welcome to the Pals Anime Lounge, a podcast where a bunch of pals get together to talk about anime. I'm your host, Ace, and joining me are Artura.
Hello, everyone.
And Gozo Goes.
Hi, hi.
In today's episode, we're talking about TP Sakura, Time Paladin Sakura, aka TP Sakura, Time Paladin Sakura, Jiku Boisen, a two-episode OVA from 2011. Chose this one because we've had a couple of long ones, and it was a shorter one, but the notes weren't. It was produced by Nomad, the studio behind, well, nothing notable. However, they did do the opening and ending cinematics for the 2018 game Monster Boy and the Cursed Kingdom. TP Sakura, Time Paladin Sakura currently has a My Animalist score of 5.83. It's based on the visual novel of the same name, a spin-off of DC Da Capo, developed by Circus and released on PC and probably other things, but info about this was very hard to come across. My summary is, between friends, school, and a job involving time travel, Sakura has everything a kid might want until the job interferes with her friends.
That was such a good one. Wow. That might be my favorite one you've done yet.
Thank you. What do you have?
I kept mine relatively simple. I followed the story of Sakura, a time paladin who may have to fight the organization's greatest foe yet.
And Gozo Goes?
It is a story of Sakura, who was born into a family of time patrollers and is forced to give up on her dreams to continue the family business. Will she continue to struggle in order to please her abusive grandmother, or will she manage to fulfill her greatest aspiration of eating food?
Factual as always. Well, the first episode opens on Tokyo in 2010. Actually, make that Edo in 1828. For those of you unaware, Edo would later be renamed Tokyo.
Okay, I'm really glad about that because I was like, wait a minute, I'm pretty sure Edo was a time period. So when they said Edo, I was a little upset.
Yeah, it was the city of Edo, and that's why it was the Edo period of Japan's history. Nezumi Kozo, a famous Edo period thief, is being chased by local law enforcement when he's pounced upon by a cat and knocked over, which results in his capture. However, the one in charge is confronted by a blonde child with twin tails, who reveals that there are two thieves. The one in charge quickly nabbed all of Nezumi's stolen stuff while all the others were distracted. Also, they're actually temporal thief Suginami, who tries to escape. But when the child gives chase, they reveal themselves to be TP Sakura. And we get the titles.
I feel like these titles were a little underwhelming. I'm sorry, but I just didn't like it as much as some of the other ones.
From an animation standpoint, I can understand that because it's all stuff that later happens in the episodes.
Yeah, like, I understand not wanting to spend a lot of time on it, but it just felt disappointing.
I did like the song. But it's from the game, so...
Speaking of that thief, I really want to know where this trope came from, where thieves in Japanese media have, like, a handkerchief tied on their head, tied under their nose. Like, is it historical? And if it is historical, where did it come from? Like, why?
I am also curious about that.
It would drive me crazy to, like, have it under my nose.
Like, it didn't even hide his identity because they knew who he was. About the titles, it runs for a minute and a half, and the episode's only 25 minutes long.
I did not notice how much time that actually took. Wow.
Yeah, I saw along the timeline that it was a big chunk. I had a look. Yep, a minute and a half. We cut back to Sakura chasing Suginami across the rooftops, and Sakura captures the thief, but he's not done yet, because Suginami's assistants, Nemu and Miharu, arrive in an Egomatic from Sonic the Hedgehog.
Not entirely inaccurate.
Fortunately, even though the trio escape, Sakura managed to keep the stolen items from leaving with them, and also managed to start a fire.
That's besides the point.
And also one of them, like, has unexplained optic blasts.
Yeah, I just rolled with it. I did actually check to see if there was a major fire in Edo in this time period, and it turns out that Edo was like almost always on fire. Wikipedia.
Well, then it was inaccurate because when they arrived, it wasn't on fire.
It basically says that during this period, there were many large fires. It's like, oh, well.
It should have been like, not Sakura, go catch this thief. Sakura, go to Edo and start some fires.
They've been in peace for too long. Burn them.
That was one of her sub-objectives. The main one was catching the thief.
So in this case, she did good.
Well, you'd think, but back in 2010, on the island of Hatsunajima, hidden inside a shrine, is the Historical Continuity Defensive Department headquarters. Think the Time Variance Authority from the Disney Plus show Loki, where Sakura is getting told off by her grandmother, also her boss. Grandma explains what the HCDD does for the benefit of the viewers, and it's almost literally the same as the TVA in Loki.
I'm starting to see a pattern here. I cannot believe they copied Loki. Oh my god.
I was actually quite annoyed that we did this now instead of when season 2 of Loki was airing.
We may not be covering Loki, but we are covering its ripoff.
The telling off goes on for so long, however, that it makes Sakura late for school. Sakura meets up with Jinuchi, a fellow student, who just didn't realize the time. Just got engrossed in a book. Jinuchi is the only one who knows about the Time Paladin job, and gives Sakura something to eat, as if visiting Edo happened before breakfast. They're interrupted by Student Council President Suginami, recognize the name, who says that it's against school rules to eat while walking to school. This is clearly a timeline where late toast doesn't happen. Suginami punishes them with writing 10 pages of kanji because eating in front of him is the start of a slippery slope towards committing actual crimes.
I mean, it really was that led me into drugs back in the day.
Oh. Well, I take back any criticism I have of this episode. Nemu and Miharu arrive, interrupting Suginami and revealing that Nemu is Junichi's older sister. Nemu offers to take over lecturing the pair of juniors so that Suginami won't be late. So the president leaves along with Miharu, who he calls Wanko?
Yeah, I laughed so hard at that. I was like, how did they find my childhood username?
I looked it up. That's not even the character's last name. Like, at least it makes sense then. Because that, come along, Wanko. What?
Maybe he meant Wanker.
So, later at school, Sakura and Jinuchi meet up with their friend Katori, and Sakura reveals that they do realize that Suginami has the same name as temporal thief Suginami, but clearly hasn't put together the pieces of this two-piece jigsaw puzzle.
The one very well-known side effect of time travel is dementia.
Oh dear. We see a montage of Sakura being awful at every single class, before they're dancing, and Sakura's really looking forward to their turn dancing with Junichi. But it's ruined when it turns out that the older class is dancing with the younger class, so Sakura is paired up with Suginami.
Oh my god.
This goes poorly.
He almost pulls her fucking hands out.
Yeah. Swings her round and round, and that didn't look pleasant.
I mean, you say that, but she stomped on his foot like, oh my god.
You are correct. She did start it. At lunchtime, just as Sakura sits down to eat, the time bracelet starts chirping, and they have to report to work. And then Sakura is chased by a woolly mammoth.
I'm sorry, time bracelet. We just call them watches.
Okay, I wrote bracelets, but I suppose it probably was a watch. Sakura might be left-handed, so wearing it on the right wrist. Back at school, Sakura whines about being a time paladin and is reminded by the cat, Archimedes, that only people of her bloodline can use the powers of space-time. And yeah, there's a whole hidden department about it. Junichi brings Sakura food, and they share some kind words. Meanwhile, in the student council room, Suginami is talking about the only item they've managed to steal successfully, a Bible that could have belonged to Amakusa Shiro, the leader of the Shimabara Rebellion in the 1630s.
Wait a minute. Tsunigami was the thief all along? I thought it was just a coincidence.
I thought it was Lupin.
Junichi interrupts, and the room reverts to looking like a normal room instead of a time vault, as it had looked. And because Junichi is there to bring some printouts, and gets a fright when the Bible that Suginami is holding suddenly opens its eye. Elsewhere, Sakura is helping to clean the classroom when the TP bracelet, or watch, chirps again, and off she goes. Back in the student council room, Suginami finishes their presidential duties and changes into temporal thief Suginami, heading back to Edo. While Junichi and Katori are washing their hands, the Bible opens its eye, causing Junichi to collapse suddenly. In the HCDD, an alarm goes off. It's a time-eating worm, and Sakura is dispatched to end its threat before it can grow. But why was Sakura called before the alarm went off? Junichi either hallucinates or is seamlessly transported through time by a vampire who mind controls and then kisses him.
Is somehow accurate?
At the HCDD, an alarm goes off, showing another time-eating worm, this time in the present, but it disappears. Meanwhile, in Edo, it turns out we're not in 1828 again, but in the late 1700s, as the inventor of the Elekita is perfecting his invention when the time-eating worm absorbs the generator and tries to kill him. Sakura prevents it and battles the worm, gaining the upper hand until Team Temporal Thief Suginami arrives in their Ergomatic. As the two square off, Sakura wanting to destroy the Elekita and arrest Suginami, the thief wanting to save the Elekita and avoid being arrested, in 2010, the vampire decides that humanity is screwed up. In Edo, Sakura destroys the worm with a magical railgun, not a scientific one, and captures Suginami. But suddenly there's an emergency transmission through the bracelet. HQ is under attack by the vampire. We get a flash that shows the vampires possessing Junichi's body, and by the time Sakura returns through the time portal with Suginami, the vampire has already done its damage. Sakura faces off against the vampire when it changes back into Junichi. And that ends the episode on a cliffhanger. We get the credits, and I just laughed when we saw Suginami ironing his cape.
I know, I really like that part. I actually like these a little more because it was just a little cuter. The other one just felt like one of those things that people make, kind of like fan-made because it's from clips, but this one's just cute little pictures.
I like the animation, but the song was entirely forgettable. The second episode picks up immediately after the first. Suginami recognizes Junichi as Nemu's younger brother just before the vampire says that Sakura is Junichi's friend, presumably blowing the Time Paladin's cover to the Temporal Thief. But that never pays off.
Spoilers,
sorry. The vampire introduces himself as Amakusa Shiro Tokisaga. So, yeah, the Bible did belong to the leader of the Shimabara Rebellion in the 1630s. Amakusa uses psycho power to shove Sakura away, before starting to absorb the power of time travel from the dimensional tree that allows Sakura to time travel, and then disappears into a time portal. And we get the opening titles. We open back on a damage report. 80% of the base is damaged, the dimensional tree doesn't appear to be recovering, and time gates are unusable. With no way to give chase to Amakusa, the boss orders a dimensional lockdown.
Which was never really explained what it is.
Yeah, also, soon they will do another dimensional lockdown, and that seems to be a very contained thing, so... What was the point in announcing they were going to do a dimensional lockdown?
At that point, they just go, let's do the heebie-jeebie, babadoobo, let's do the dimensional the sword holder something, and we have no idea what's going on. Let's do this. You know about
just it. Just call it dimensional something, and then you've got it.
It'll sound cool if we put dimensional behind it.
We cut to the city of Nara in the year 750, where Amakusa is complaining that he's op and missed his destination, so he blows up a statue, which sets off arms in the HCDD. The boss orders the use of dimensional torpedoes and to prepare the dimensional cannon, a forbidden weapon.
And, like, I want to notice that we were told that only people from this bloodline can use time powers, but it seems like everyone in that establishment can. So I don't know.
Yeah, how do you fire time torpedoes? Dimensional torpedoes without the use of time portals? It's weird.
Yeah, I was like in the first episode when they said that only people from that bloodline can use time powers, I was going to suggest that maybe to make the job easier, because it's such an important job, they should consider some inbreeding. But I think they already did that.
However, Sakura begs them not to, but is too weak to do anything about it until she exits the room, then she's full of beans. The torpedo is fired, but isn't very effective. Worse, the dimensional lockdown had no effect either. So they activate the dimensional cannon.
And then another dimensional lockdown. And another. And okay, I think you get the point.
Elsewhere, Sugidami is broken out of his cell by Nemu and Miharu. No explanation how they tracked him down.
It was that easy.
Then
it happens every Tuesday.
Everyone knows where this hidden base is. Then Sakura cries on the dimensional tree, making activate a time gate for her. Amakusa arrives in the year 1600 in Sekigahara in the midst of a massive battle. After a commercial break, we see the inside of Amakusa's head, where Junichi has just woken up. The vampire was playing an organ, a requiem for their brothers and sisters who died, and we get a flashback, where Amakusa curses his Bible in a burning church because the Christian God didn't save them.
I'm surprised they went there. But it was a different time. Back then you could just put a cross in your anime and said that God sucks.
Different times are so simple.
2011, yeah. In 1600, Sakura arrives and has a scuffle with Amakusa, but he stops the Time Paladin long enough to threaten the entire battlefield below them. The HCDD does another dimensional lockdown and fires the dimensional cannon. Obviously, it fails, and Amakusa breaks free, throwing Sakura back. But Suginami flies in through a portal in the Egomatics to save the day. The temporal thieves take on the thousands of bats which have somehow appeared, while Sakura flies at Amakusa directly. He grabs the Time Paladin, but is forced to let go when the ghost of Junichi makes him and tells Sakura to end this, even if it results in his sacrifice. Sakura pulls out the magical railgun and fires it, while Junichi holds Amakusa like Goku held Raditz. We didn't see what happened, but while Sakura was crying over Junichi's body, he woke up and reported that he was fine.
Supposedly there was a green alien then shooting a drilling beam.
That's what the railgun is. It's a green alien.
Oh my god, not only are they inbreeding, but they're also slave drivers too? Jesus Christ.
Seeing that Junichi is alright, the temporal thieves head home for curry, and the younger two follow suit. We cut to a week later, where Sakura is once more interrupted at lunchtime for work. And then we get the credits. And then a post-credit scene, where temporal thief Suginami is confronted by Time Paladin Sakura in the past, somewhere, somehow, and that's it. So, was this a good adaptation?
I mean, so I tried to find the game to watch a little about it, to no avail, I'm going to be honest. But I did find out that they released at the same time, which I found super interesting, according to the wiki I read at least.
Yeah, I have no idea. I looked everywhere, simply could not find any gameplay for this title. I found a trailer for it, like the announcement trailer, but other than hearing that the song was the same, I have no information about this. So, was it a Yata, a Nani, or a Baka, Arturo?
I'm torn between a Nani and a Baka, because I don't think it was particularly bad. It was kind of uneventful. But I wouldn't say I liked it or would recommend it to anyone. So for me, I'm just going to leave it at a nanny.
And goes.
I'm going to say nanny. It was very middle of the road, very bland.
For me, it's a yatta. It was lighthearted and overall decent. Animation, music, voice acting. Quite enjoyed it. So does it deserve its My Animalist score of 5.83?
I don't think it joins its My Animalist score, no. I think it existed. So yeah, I think it's a good score for it personally.
Goes?
Maybe slightly higher.
I'd push out to a 7 personally.
What did you like so much about it?
Just as a whole, it moves at a decent pace. There's lots of entertaining interactions between the characters. It's well animated. The script is fun and informative because it uses real historical figures. I mean, I don't think that the guy was Amakusa was a vampire, but
I mean, not back then.
He was definitely a Christian, and he did lead the Shimbara rebellion in the 1630s and died when he was 17. But where the vampire powers come from, that's not explained on Wikipedia or in the anime.
That's a good point. I do like that they followed historical things so much. I think that accuracy like that and similarities to real life are really important whenever you're making anime and stuff like this.
Yeah, because there was a famous thief called Nezumi Kozo. There was this leader of the Shimbara Rebellion. The generator machine thingy was really created in Edo in that time period. Clearly the magical stuff and time travel stuff didn't happen. It's always fun when an anime introduces real information into it.
I'm really glad that you enjoyed it. If you could get the game, would you try it?
Probably not. I have an issue with visual novels. I read to go to sleep at night, so when I'm reading a game, it has the same response with my body. It's like, oh, we're reading, that means it's better.
Oh no, I hate it when that happens to me.
So I'm reading a game for 2 hours and I'm just what? It's 3 o'clock in the afternoon, what are you doing? So unlikely. But that brings us to the end of this episode. Thank you for joining me, Arthur and Gozgoz.
Thank you so much for having us.
Thank you.
And thank you for listening to the Pals Anime Lounge. And better yet, thank you for subscribing wherever you found this episode. You can find more from us on GameGrim.com, find us on social media, or listen to the Greencast podcast. And until next time, game on.